This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are really tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You're on Saturday Magazine with Macca and with Paul. Macca, we're going to be talking to our next guest, Jan Kabatek, who's a research fellow from the Melbourne University.
Good morning, Jan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very good. How are you?
Good. Now, the subject that we have, this has got me fascinated, that a new study, same-sex parented children seem to outperform their peers in academic achievement. Tell us about this.
Yeah, sure. So do you want me to start with some motivation, probably?
Yeah, sure. Give us some context and, you know, perhaps the size of you know, the research and stuff,
so absolutely.
We can get our head around it.
That's all right. So this research started very much as a response to the debates which we were having around the Australian same-sex marriage referendum. Now, many of these debates were discussing same-sex parenting, and they were pointing to the research which has been done on the topic. So as a social scientist, I was reading up on the studies, and I quickly realized that most of these studies were actually not very reliable. The findings were kind of shaky. And the main problem was that the studies were analyzing very small samples of same-sex families. So we decided to do better and analyze the full population of one country, in our case, the Netherlands, comparing the outcomes of all children with same-sex parents to the outcomes of all children with different sex parents. And that's basically what our new study does.
That's pretty extensive, Jan. How on earth did you come up with choosing that is your case-based country? Is that because you've got good data that goes alongside how many children are with same-sex parents?
So in our sample, we have about 3,000 children.
Wow, that's a pretty sizable. Is it fair to say, Jan, that perhaps in that study, particularly geographically where it's taken place, mm-hmm, that same-sex parents are perhaps a little bit more prevalent than in Australia, or am I drawing a long bow there?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, we have to remember that the Netherlands is quite progressive on same-sex issues. It's the first country that legalized same-sex marriage, and both the public perception of same-sex issues, but also the legislation, is quite positive towards same-sex parenting. So I would expect that the relative proportion of same-sex parents will be mm-hmm, larger in the Netherlands than in most countries.
What sort of can you quantify in terms of that the outcomes, you know, that the outcomes are better? Can you tell us how you assess that? I mean, how is that reflected?
So what we are doing is essentially making comparisons between the two groups, the children with same-sex parents and children with same-sex parents, trying to account for all the observable characteristics of these families, such as education, income, family stability, you name it. We have a lot of control variables. And these statistical analyses which we are pursuing are basically trying to abstract from the differences in these observable characteristics and compare children that are similar to each other in all respects except for the gender of their parents. And that's how we can kind of come up with this advantage which we found among same-sex parent children.
So Jan, you're saying there within the sample size, you have managed to try and extrapolate a data set of sort of children with parents of a mum and dad as opposed to a same-sex parent couple. So things like, you know, wealth or socio-demographic backgrounds, you've managed to actually pair those up. So you've actually got a control set with the 3,000 sample set to actually come up with this result.
That's exactly right. So we are doing our best to compare apples with apples. I mean, the population of children with different sex parents is huge. We have about 1.5 million of them. So we can really make all these selections to compare children that are comparable in most characteristics.
Can I ask you, Jan, were you, when you, you know, when you saw these results or, you know, diving deep into them as a research fellow, were you surprised in any way? Were you, was it like, oh, you know, what was your reaction when you, you know, when you first saw these results?
Well, I think the answer to this question is yes and no. On one hand, I was surprised because these results deviated from the findings of the studies that have been already written on the topic. Most of the studies find no difference between the two groups, and small minority of studies find disadvantage among same-sex parented children. So we were kind of going against the default finding here. But intuitively, I wasn't that surprised. I mean, if you think about it, the initial decision to become parents is a very conscious one for all same-sex parents, right? There is no unintended pregnancy, and the couples also have to break through a lot of barriers, both in terms of the legislation, but also just the cost, the financial cost of becoming parents, right? Mm. And I think all of these factors are contributing to fostering same-sex, they're contributing to positive parenting practices among same-sex parents.
So, yeah, what else is it, what else was there in terms of the scale of that outperformance? Can you ever give an indication on that? And a more difficult question on top of that, is there any way to link what you've done to something like happiness? Because we know if a child is happy, they're more inclined to do better. So just give us an understanding of that scale of the difference in outperformance, and then what can you tell us about that happiness quotient?
Yeah, absolutely. So we analyze multiple outcomes. We analyze test scores where we find same-sex advantage, but the difference is rather small. It's just a few percentage points. But we do find larger advantages in terms of other outcomes, such as high school graduation rates or college enrollment rates, where the children with same-sex parents are, for example, about 10% more likely to enroll into college than children with different sex parents. So these results kind of range from small to relatively sizable.
I was going to ask Jan, so, you know, you'd said earlier that, you know, these survey results, you know, my words, are somewhat at odds with previous surveys, or, you know, deliver quite a different outcome. Does that, that says to me that, how comfortable, well, let me put it this way, how comfortable do you feel about the validity of this survey, and does it stand up, you know, to rigorous attention? Because if the norm has been, has said, well, this, there's basically not much difference, whereas this is saying there is a significant difference, is it the way the survey was done? Is it the size? Is it, you know, like, what makes this survey, in your mind, valid?
So, a few points. In terms of the previous results, we differ from them, but the difference could be very much explained by the fact that we are focusing on the Netherlands.
Right.
Most of the studies which have been done before are focusing on the U.S., and the U.S. Have much less welcoming environment for same-sex parents than the Netherlands does. So from this perspective, I'm quite comfortable with the results. And the other important thing is that we are not analyzing any surveys. We really have basically hard-coded information about each and every children that is in the population of the Netherlands. We know their test scores and we know their objective outcomes. So it's not so much about the validity of the surveys, but just the plain reality of what is happening in that country.
Okay. Look, it's
fascinating.
I mean, so I think it's wonderful. And I think one of the factors that, and not being a researcher, but that to me would say that when a same-sex couple decide to have a child, whether that's by surrogacy, whether it's by adoption, or whether it's by that child coming in as the result of a previous relationship, that I think there's a more conscious decision to have that, you know, to raise a child and all that's involved in that. So I'm not surprised that the outcomes appear more positive. Look, I'm glad the research is bearing that out. As I said, anecdotally, I've got my thoughts as to why that would be the case. But, you know, this sort of research is great because it actually informs the debate, and it particularly those who campaigned against marriage equality on the basis that the children would be disadvantaged and have worse outcomes. I think this shows that, you know, they were on a fool's errand.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that Australia still has some way to go in terms of acceptance of same-sex parenting, and we are certainly hoping that this research will contribute to the debate and basically show that same-sex parenting per se doesn't have any negative connotation or doesn't impose any disadvantage on the children.
That's great.
Yeah, and well done for completing this research. And I think it's a massive piece of work. And I'm especially impressed by the way you've got the sample size so accurately to actually get apples with apples. So well done to you on that great work there.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're on Saturday Magazine. Now, we've just been talking with Dr. Jan Kabatek, a research fellow from the Melbourne University, about a new study on same-sex parented children and their outperformance with their peers in academic achievement.
Yeah. And I just want to quickly touch on a message from a listener. Just the last three digits, 153. He was recently called out by a young person for questioning some turns around gender whilst he was... was expected to tolerate the term queer. I don't accept this word. I don't want to be referred to in this way and feel strongly about it as many do about terms used for people in regard to their race. I understand that and I use that term. Remember, LGBTQIA.
Plus.
I use the term as an enveloping one. I do understand some people find it offensive. I'm sorry you do. I like to reclaim or reappropriate that word. 153, I understand where you're coming from.
It's often difficult as well to try and have one easy term because we are such a broad, diverse group of people.
I've had emails on this for all my time as president of Joy about we were originally a gay and lesbian radio station, that's what we're called. Then it became a lesbian and gay radio station. Now it's then it became LGBTI, then it's LG, you know. So it has developed, you know, to be more inclusive. It is more inclusive. It's not there to exclude. But the word queer, I understand that, particularly for, you know, more mature members of our community. That's a challenging word. I'll take on board what you said. I'll try and use it a little bit less on air. So I'm sorry, 153, if you find that offensive, but it is part of what our community is referred to.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy.
Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.